Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
This program is about Christian stress management. There's a beautiful verse in the Bible, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26. It says, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Today we're going to be talking about Christian stress management. Waiting quietly, sitting quietly, watching quietly. We're going to be talking about how to take a mental step back and remain composed and calm and close to where patience is and love is. And so instead of reflecting anger and upset, you can bring forth patience, wisdom, and love. That's what we're going to be talking about today. This is the best of Christian stress management. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is goals and temptations. And now here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. You know that you can be so lost in your thoughts that you actually drive right past the freeway exit you should have taken. Or you're so lost in your thoughts that somebody says something to you and you don't even hear it. You can be so focused on something, you're watching television and you're so lost in what's going on the television that you don't hear your water boiling over on the stove, that type of thing. So let's just say that when you are so caught up in something, so focused on it, so concentrated on something, it narrows your field of vision somehow, doesn't it? So that you're not aware of what else is going on. I am here to help you to wake up to what else is going on. Now, mostly we don't want to be aware. Look, here's the problem. When you enter into this kind of frame of mind where you're focused on things, and between different things that you're caught up in and fixated on and focused on, there are periods of time where you are lost in thought. Now, here's the interesting thing. When you're lost in thought, you are, let's call it, focused on thought. Your attention is somehow inwardly directed toward that parade of images in your mind, those fantasies, that remembering what happened in the past or worrying about the future. You are lost in that, and you're fixated. You are concentrated on that and lost in it. The same way that people get lost in a television program or a movie. Have you ever been in a room where everybody's fixated on the television screen, what's going on there, but you're not? And you try to talk to them and they don't even hear what you're saying. They're so lost on it. You understand? So that's not a way to live. It's not a way to live to be totally at the beck and call of every little thing that grabs your attention. And it's not good to be so focused on one thing that you fail to notice something else. In the little moments of life, it's not good. And in the big moments of life, it's not good. That's for sure. Some men are so focused on their work, so caught up in their work, so lost in their work, that their marriage goes to ruin. See? And then their work suffers. And then after worrying and worrying about the wife asking for a divorce, and your work suffers, and then the boss calls you in and said, "Hey, lately your mind has been somewhere else. You're not getting the job done like you used to." Now you're worried about that, all right? And so now your health, and soon your health will start to suffer, you see? And the really big picture of life, if you have some goal, that's a way of being caught up, isn't it? That's a way of being lost in something, fixated on something, pulled into something if you have a goal. So if you have a goal, you want to be a nice person, you want everybody to like you, let's say that's your goal, you want everybody to like you. Or another goal is you want to prove to them that you can be a success. When you were in high school, they put you down and laughed at you. You hated all of them and you wanted to prove that you could be a success. All right, so you go out in the world. Maybe you are a success and maybe you're not. but that's the focus of your life, you don't see what else is going on. You miss the big picture. You miss the true purpose of life. You miss what God had wanted you to be and to do because you became so lost in some goal of being a success or having a happy family or have everyone like you. You see? So this business of goal setting, this business of being focused and concentrated. Now here's another thing. I was reading a book by Ormond McGill. Everybody says he's the dean of hypnosis, or for sure the dean of stage hypnosis. Really, really a professional hypnotist. He knows a lot about it. He's written many books about it. He has a book called something like The Guide to Stage Hypnotism or something like that. But anyway, he lists out a whole bunch of techniques, I think 99 or 100 techniques for hypnotizing people. And do you know what just about every single one of them or every single one of them includes? Getting people to concentrate, getting people to try hard and focus, see? And then getting them lost in their thoughts, lost in their imagination, imagining this, imagining that, see? So maybe. Look, maybe this is just something for you to consider. Maybe if somehow you missed the big picture, you missed the true purpose of life, somehow you're majoring in the minors, or you have a major in life, some important goal, but it's causing the rest of your life to fall apart. Or maybe you've reached your goal and now there's that lassitude, there's that depression that comes after you've reached the goal that you struggled for. So people have tempted you to set goals. And when you did, you had this goal and that goal and this goal and that goal. All your life, they've been tempting you. A goal to get an A, a goal to do well, a goal to please teacher, a goal to please your mom, a goal to please your dad, a goal to do well in school, a goal to get into the best college, a goal to go to graduate school, a goal to get a promotion, a goal to solve your health issue. After all your goal settings, your health has suffered. Then your health becomes your goal, and then you fixate totally on that, and you become totally lopsided and totally, narrow-minded. I don't know how to say it, but you know that people who are too fixated, yeah, sometimes they're kind of scary because they're so determined, so dogged in their pursuit of something that you sometimes just want to get out of their way. But on the other hand, you can see that they're lopsided. You see that other parts of their life are falling apart. You see that they're not really happy. You see that they're making a mistake and ruining their relationships, and they don't even realize it. So you don't want to be like that. You want to be able to get the big picture, to defocus, to stand back, to take a deep breath, and to find the purpose of your existence, what God wants for you. See, if you set your own goal, no, you see, you're not even setting your own goal. It's actually a goal that people gave you. Goals that people gave you. Sometimes they teased you, they put you down, and that tempted you to strive harder. Other times they encouraged you and patted you on the back and praised you and offered lots of support for you when you pursued your goal. All right. But now I want you to see that there has to be a way in life that you can do things and accomplish things and be successful, but at the same time, not be lopsided, not be lost in the details, not be so focused on one thing that everything else falls apart. And the way to do that, let's keep it simple right now, and let's just say you have to learn to defocus, to stand back and get the big picture.
Hi. You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio. Check out Roland's free resources at sheddingshackles.com.
So here's the example I've given dozens of times over the years, but I keep using it because it works. See, this stuff, look, how can I say this? Let me just give you the example. Two guys are talking and pretty soon they're arguing about something. And it's becoming a heated argument, but it's not anything really important, but they're having a heated argument about something, and pretty soon it gets really heated, and then all of a sudden, one guy takes a mental step back, and he says, hey, it's not that big a deal. Hey, it's not important. We're friends. Hey, let's go to Starbucks and get something. And they both laugh, and now they're friends again. You see what I mean? You have to learn how to take that mental step back. See? Your child comes to you with something. Mommy, I'm trying to text this message to the office. Mommy, look, just leave me alone for a minute. I'm trying to text this message to the office. Okay, mommy. Can you take a mental step back? And then when you take the mental step back, you are there for your child. You can say, sure. Hey, I tell you what, let me just do this little thing here real quick, and then I'm going to come join you and we'll both do it. See, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the outcome. Everything is good after that. You see what I mean? But in order for that to happen, you have to take a mental step back. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you have a hard time taking a mental step back from sometimes. I'm going to tell you it. You'll see that what I'm saying is true, and it has an ominous quality to it. But one thing that you have a hard time, well, let me mention two things. First, I'll say you have a hard time stepping back from having a resentment and a grudge against someone. Somebody said something, they did something, or they failed you in some way, and you have a grudge against them. It's like unfinished business. You can't let it go. You can't let it go. Maybe you pretend, yeah, you smile on the surface, but underneath it's there. See? Can you see how that's a kind of a focus? That's a kind of a concentration? That's a kind of an involvement? See? So sometimes, just like it's hard to snap out of your involvement with the television, it's hard to snap out of your involvement with food. It's hard sometimes to snap out of your involvement with something like something that you're addicted to, like marijuana or cigarettes or something. It's even harder for you to snap out of your involvement in your resentment against someone. But unless you can snap out, unless you can pull back and get the big picture, make it unimportant, then it's not going to be good. And then another thing that you have a hard time stepping back from is admitting that you're wrong. Sometimes you're wrong. You yell at your child. You resent your husband or your wife. You're phony with somebody. See, you have some opinion about something and you push it on people and turns out it's not right. And you sense it. You sense it. And people tell you, but you don't want to admit it. You don't want to admit you're wrong. Your child comes to you, Mom, when I was a little kid, you used to yell at me, and I never did that. I didn't yell at you. You don't want to admit you're wrong. You cling to it, and you refuse to admit you're wrong. Well, you know what? That's being hard-hearted. And it's an involvement. And it's a level of consciousness that ultimately ends up in people's destruction. Their family is ruined. Their relationships are ruined. Their life is ruined. They never find salvation because they were unwilling to let go of a grudge and they were unwilling to admit they're wrong. So now we come to the big picture, the meta moment that I want to tell you about. Just like you can get caught up in these little things, you can also get caught up in such a way that you won't admit you're wrong to conscience. You won't admit you're wrong. You won't admit to your husband or to your wife or to your kids. You won't admit you're wrong. How much more so you won't admit you're wrong before conscience and be sorry before conscience. You know that conscience represents God. That's your closest link to God. So that kind of a hard heart, that kind of a determined goal of wanting to be right, who gave you that goal? Who gave you the goal of always wanting to be right and having a pride? Whose pride is it? Where does that come from? See, when you step back, you can start to ask questions. You can start to ponder things. Ask questions. and wonder why. See, that's also standing back and getting the big picture. That's what you need to be able to do. So I recommend that you consider what I've been saying. And if you want to get started, I have a couple of things that will help you. First of all, my radio programs are helpful because when you hear me talk about it, you can follow as I say it. As I say it, you can see it. That's also stepping back. See, my whole program is all about stepping back, getting the big picture, letting go of whatever it is that's involved you, that's got you all caught up in it, that's got you trapped, addicted, that's got you subject to it, that's holding you down, holding you back. Okay.
Hi, you're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio.
Do you have a question for Roland? If so, call the listener call-in line at 510-455-8851.
So it's thinking outside the box. Who was good at that? Somebody like Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer. He thought outside the box, and he encouraged people to think outside the box, to be intuitive, to follow their intuition. So that's what you need. Intuition is there when you step back, when you defocus, when you get the big picture, suddenly intuition is there. Conscience is there. Wisdom is there. Understanding is there. Love is there. Guidance is there. Okay. So what do I have to help you? First of all, I have something that's very, very simple. For those of you who want to just put one toe in the water, you know, you just want to try something that's not too much, something simple. Okay, how about my sitting quietly exercise? It's very good. It's a little hand warming. It's biofeedback. It just shows you how to get out of thoughts, to get out of your imagination, and to sit quietly and become aware of your hands. It's very simple. It's actually a good stress reducer, too. So you get all stressed out when you're lost in stuff. You get all lost in worries and fears and doubts. They stress you. And then when you're all lost in that stuff, you mess up your relationships, and then that stresses you. So you can learn to start de-stressing. You can learn to start defocusing. You can learn how to get back in the moment and get out of the squirrel cage of thinking with the help of the little sitting quietly exercise. It's totally free. It's at the website, sheddingshackles.com. Sheddingshackles.com. You can find it. Or you can also go to handwarming.com. How about that for a cool name for a website? I got it. Handwarming.com. Handwarming.com. It's there. It's very simple. You can listen to it. You can watch it on YouTube. You can download it. Very, very good. And then some of you might want to try the little meditation I've been talking about now for 35 years. Well, isn't it time you might give it a try? And it's free. It's very free. It's like hand warming, just a little advanced. But it's very simple, and it's just perfect. It's perfect for Christians. It's the perfect stress management tool for Christians because, look, it's hard for you to be for, look, you want to do the right thing. You want to be forgiving. You want to have love for people. See, you want to have wisdom in dealing with people. You want all that. Well, it's hard to do when you're angry, when you're upset, when you're resentful, when you're lost in something, when you're worried about something. See? So if you take a mental step back, it's easier to be a good Christian. So it's good for Christians. God said, be still and know that I am God. That's what he said. Be still. Experience reality.
Stillness is valuable not just in your spiritual life, but in music as well. When I teach piano lessons, I sometimes say, the rests are just as important as the notes. Observing the rests is crucial to having good rhythm. God intended that we should work for 6 days and then rest on the seventh day. And I invite you to consider whether you are getting enough rest and treating rest with the value that it deserves. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
So, all you have to do is figure out how you fail. You have to look at it under a microscope and see that your failure comes in a moment, a timeless moment, where you have a choice. Just before you become angry, just before you become resentful, just before you throw in the towel, just before you doubt yourself, if you could just hold your ground and not resent and not get angry and not doubt and just hold your ground and let the moment pass, then you would be safe. And not only that, but you would actually be stronger. See, it takes wisdom. See, one person said anybody can get angry, but it takes real courage, not real character, not to get angry. Anybody can become impatient, but it takes virtue not to become impatient. See? And so, likewise, there's wisdom in just watching. In the past, you've always jumped into, look, let's say there's a river flowing by, and it's flowing really fast. You don't want to jump into that river. You might go floating away toward the rapids. So you sit on the bank. You sit on the bank and bask in the warm sunlight and watch the river flow by instead of jumping into it. But your problem is that you haven't been taught properly. No one has showed you, except now I'm showing you, that you can sit on the bank. Look, when these things happen, when people come up and they pressure you, or they're mean, or they're confusing, or they have an attitude, or they have a secret agenda, or they're up to no good, or they're trying to get to you, or they tease you, or they pressure you, all you have to do is sit on the bank of the river and watch. Let a moment go by and stay close to your intuition, what you know in your heart. Stay there and don't reach for anything. Don't reach for emotions. Don't fall into arguments with people. Don't get pulled down into your thinking. Don't try to compensate. Don't try to escape and avoid the moment. Just watch, and it will pass, and you're safe. And when you see the wisdom of what I've just said, and you go out into the world, and you give it a try, and it works, then you'll begin to see the brilliance of it. See, now, who taught us that? Who taught us? Who said, forgive? Who told us not to take umbrage? Who told us not to worry? Who told us not to get angry at people? Who taught us that? You know who it was, but you haven't been able to interpret it properly. What you've always done is you've gotten angry, and then you try to undo it. You feel guilty, and then you try to be extra nice or something. You become impatient, and then you make a mess out of things with your kids, and then you try to make up for it. Or you know that you become impatient, so you just try to avoid. Or you pretend that you're not impatient, and you suppress and suppress, and you pretend you're not angry, but you are angry, and you suppress it and hide it. So, but you have to do what he said. He said, what did he say? He said, resist not evil. What did he mean? He meant resent not evil. He said, don't resent. Don't get angry. See, don't judge the other person. Just stand there and just watch. If you don't do any of those things, if you don't fall into those things, then you are safe. It's that simple. It's so simple that you miss it. So let me say it again. There is a moment, a timeless moment, before you become confused, before you get upset, before you get angry, before you judge the other person, before you resent the other person. There is a moment when you have not done any of those things. You are outside of time. You are above the moment. You're watching. It passes, and you're safe. You have hung on to your understanding. You've hung on to your virtue. You've hung on to your true self. Your true self, connected to what you know in your heart, is watching, and you're safe. And then some of you might want to try the little meditation I've been talking about now for 35 years. Well, isn't it time you might give it a try? And it's free. It's very free. It's like handwarming, just a little advanced. But it's very simple, and it's just perfect. It's perfect for Christians. It's the perfect stress management tool for Christians because, look, it's hard for you to be for. Look, you want to do the right thing. You want to be forgiving. You want to have love for people. See, you want to have wisdom in dealing with people. You want all that. Well, it's hard to do when you're angry, when you're upset, when you're resentful, when you're lost in something, when you're worried about something. See? So if you take a mental step back, it's easier to be a good Christian. So it's good for Christians. So you've got to get that little biofeedback exercise. I call it sitting quietly. I want you to get it so that you can begin to conquer stress. You can get it for yourself. You can share it with your family, share it with your friends. It's called sitting quietly. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.